That's back asswards. I'm ready, baby. You can't do that. I thought that was significant. His curiosity, insatiable. There's a unique element to Shaq Barrett as a pass rusher. It's unique. I don't believe Shaq Barrett in any way is going to be a fluke, a one-year wonder. And I'll say this without any equivocation. If Matt Gay is counting on his fifth-round draft status to save his bacon, he's sadly mistaken.
We are less than 2 weeks away from opening day. Buccaneers, Saints, it's going to be a classic, and the real classic is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, the King of Newport Richie, and the star of this podcast, the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Ira, how are you? How you feeling? Are you fired up for opening day? It's September.
I'm feeling jubilant, gentlemen. Jubilant. 20 minutes ago, I had the privilege of going on a New Orleans radio station with Bobby Hebert. I don't know if you guys remember him as a quarterback for the Saints
and Panthers.
Yeah, Bobby Hebert, and he's doing it with a co-host. So anyway, I get on there, and Isbitz is going to appreciate this because he's heard me many times on many other shows come in with both barrels blazing, and the host never expects that. You know, they just say hello, and oh, it's a privilege to be on the show or whatever. I don't do that. You know, the co-host says, we got Ira Kaufman, a columnist for Joe Bucks Fan. How you doing, Ira? And I said, gentlemen, I have been authorized to speak for the Tampa Bay Buccaneer organization. They have given me permission to represent them on this phone call. And along those lines, I am to impart a message to you two gentlemen. If you don't want Alvin Kamara, we'll take them. They absolutely loved it. And they also talked very seriously that this could happen. Kamara could leave the Saints. I can't believe that. I can't believe it would happen this late in the year. I know they got Latavius Murray and Fournette's out there. Should they want to replace him? They think that Peyton and Breeze, that offense, it's interchangeable. And if Kamara's not there, they will just go on with some interchangeable parts. I mean, I was a little surprised coming from a New Orleans radio station.
Very interesting, Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. We are fired up. We got a lot to talk about, Ira, including that Alvin Kamara situation, which obviously is in the back of the minds of Bucks fans in a huge way. But in the front of minds of Bucks fans needs to be Bill Curry Ford. That's where you shop for a vehicle in the Tampa Bay area. Family owned for the last 60 years. General manager Sean Sullivan is a personal friend of all three of us. He wants to care for Bucks fans personally in anything they need regarding their vehicle. He's going to get you a deal. He's going to give you a discount, an Ira Kaufman Joe Bucks Fan discount. BillCurryFord.com is the website. Nationwide lifetime warranty, Ira, on new and pre-owned vehicles. And you drive your gorgeous Ford Escape 2020 Cherry Red all over town, and you love everything about Bill Curry Ford.
My Ford Escape is absolutely fantastic. Cherry Red, you go in there, it's a pleasure. Sean Sullivan will enrapture you with Buck stories. He's already looking ahead to next year's draft. And it's a tremendous dealership. You got Big Storm food, a Big Storm drink. It's all there at your convenience. Guys, we're looking at Labor Day, and BillCurryFord.com will have some major, major sales for Labor Day.
Glad you mentioned Big Storm Brewery. That's where you will be in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road on opening day. Fantastic watch party. Huge covered outdoor area, open air, but covered fans. Awesome, modern, brand new. It's going to be a great, great time with a lot of fired up Bucks fans. And there's indoor as well. That's Florida's best craft beer, A-plus food. I know you're excited to get around the people again, Ira, but not too close.
Two words that always get Lee DeCamper excited. Beer garden. Beer garden. I think you consider yourself quite the connoisseur of craft beers, perhaps. You've drank your way through many establishments in the Tampa Bay area. And I think you hold Big Storm in high regard in that category.
Oh, it's just a fantastic place, fantastic beer. The Bramosa is dynamite. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with Big Storm beer. Our friends there, they're really excited for opening day. they're looking forward to the Big Bash. And before I forget this, I got to say this about Bill Curry Ford. I was talking with Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, earlier this week, and he told me another Bucks fan that listens to your podcast, Ira, stopped in at his store and bought a new vehicle because of this very podcast. This guy heard Sean's draft breakdowns on your podcast. And at first, and this is coming from Sean, the gentleman said at first, like, who the heck is this? The guy sells cars. What's he know about the draft? And he listened to a couple of his, appearances, and he's like, this guy is good. This guy does, he gives it straight. He doesn't, no politics involved or any kind of other nonsense. It's just straight up football knowledge. And that partially got him into the shop. And once he got in there, started talking Bucks to Sean, next thing you know, he's buying a vehicle. And anyone can get any make or model serviced at Bill Curry Ford. Doesn't matter if you bought the car there or not. If that thing's on four wheels, you could drive it in. They can work on it there. So if you're getting your car serviced, oil change, brake job, what have you, walk over to the main building and say you're looking for Sean Sullivan. Talk Bucks to them. He will stop his day for you and talk Bucks. That guy, he looks for excuses not to work so he can talk Bucks.
Steve, it's very easy to dismiss the general manager of a big car dealership when he starts pontificating about draft prospects. I mean, it's easy to say, who's this guy? He's not out on the field like scouts are. But the more you listen to Sullivan, he knows the ups and downs of these prospects, and he knows who fits the Bucks style, most importantly.
BillCurryFord.com. That's where you get it all started. Mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side, Bill Curry Ford. Ira, we got some news, but it's not the news you think. It's the news that went under the radar that has to be addressed because there's a lot of layers to it, and I'm excited about it. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, reported that Lavonte David is working on a new deal with the Buccaneers, a contract extension. This is David's final year of his contract that pays him roughly $10 million a year. Doesn't mean anything will get done, but it's clearly a priority to engage in these talks now before the season. Sometimes they look to hustle and get a deal done right before the season starts. What do you think?
I think it shows the utmost respect that this organization has for Lavonte David, not only as a player, but as a representative of this football team. Lee, we're not going to get into leadership because I know that's a touchstone issue for you, and I'm not going to mention it for Lavonte David. But he is a tackle machine. he's helping Devin White develop into a top-notch player, which I think he will be. But, Lee, here's my point. Here's why I say respect. Lavonte David's been around a long time. I think 2012 was his first year. Steve, he might be 31. And here, they're ready to do another contract extension for a 31-year-old linebacker. That's not the old Bucks, Lee. They wouldn't do that.
He's 30.
It reflects 30. Okay, and so it reflects we got to keep this guy around while we got Brady, while we got Arians. It's not often that a guy that's been playing since 2012 gets granted another contract extension. This is a priority for this organization. I think it flows down from the top. If the Glazers didn't want to sign off on this, it would not happen. It would not happen. Nobody has a bad word to say about Lavonte David. I think he is the perfect representative of what Jason Light always likes to talk about. This is the epitome of a Buck player through and through.
That was the very good Howard Stern line you had. Usually I'm the one that uses that. Like, I'm not going to mention Lavonte David in leadership. I'm not. That's right out of Howard Stern's playbook, man. Now, it just hit me in the face about 3 minutes ago, like a 2x4. You're going to extend Lavonte David. He's going to be 31 in, I think, January or December.
Right around
the end of the season, he turns 31. I'm like, what? I love Lavonte David. Granted, don't get me started on leadership with the guy, but I'm one of his biggest boosters as a player, a good guy and everything. But I'm like, a 31-year-old linebacker, and then it hit me about 5 minutes ago. Are they doing this to free up cap space to land Fournette?
I don't know. I think maybe the rumor broke about David's extension talks before Fournette was waived. Am I wrong there, Steve?
No, you're correct. It doesn't mean that they weren't thinking that Fournette or somebody else might be available. But one layer to that, Ira, and I think Lee may be onto something for sure, because if you get him renegotiated before the season starts, and then potentially you can tear up the entire deal, maybe pay him $6 million this year and backload him heavy in future years, and then you have some flexibility with that $4 million savings this year. It's possible. But when I thought of that, and we'll explore the Fournette stuff since Lee brought it up, I thought, you know what? Chris Godwin missed a couple of practices, and Bruce Arians didn't want to talk about why. And there was no evidence that he was injured. Maybe Godwin is pulling, maybe he pulled a little Alvin Kamara and said, you know what? They're negotiating a potential new deal for me today. I don't want to get hurt in practice. Let me sit this one out. Your thoughts, Ira?
Well, he has since returned, right, Steven?
He has.
I think you're jumping to conclusions there, guys. But it's interesting on the Levante David angle. You might have a point there. They might be trying to free up cap space for 2020. That's not out of the realm that they're doing that, because they got their ear to the ground, and they knew what the Jaguars were thinking about with Fournette. I mean, there's not a lot of secrets in this league. And teams knew Fournette was in trouble and could get axed by the Jags, and that's what's happened. Like you said, we'll get into the Fournette stuff, but Lee, 31-year-old linebackers usually don't get broken off, Lee. Usually don't. Your point's well taken. But, you know, they could be thinking, well, we got to have some continuity, because probably Sue and JPP will be departing. Now, we said that a year ago, and here they are. But it's hard to imagine both of them coming back in 2021. So maybe they want some defensive continuity in the middle of the field in that regard.
Yeah, it's difficult to see them coming back only for the fact that there's going to be a lower salary cap, and they're going to be choked against the cap. So I don't foresee either one coming back. By the way, JPP, he looks, you know, I saw all but three training camp practices in the past week. I was at every practice. JPP looks like he's ready to rock and roll. He looks like he's ready to play the Saints right now, like tonight. He's something else.
Lee, he really is unique, isn't he, guys? He's very, very unique. You talk to him, he's a little bit different. Not off-putting, but just different.
You know why he's different, Ira? I'll tell you why he's different, because he spent his pro career in New York, and he's wondering why the Tampa media clowns don't ask him a bunch of tough questions. He can't figure it out.
Are you including the three of us in that grouping, Mr. Isbitz?
Absolutely.
Perhaps?
Absolutely.
He has played well, and Lee made this point last week, and it was an excellent, excellent observation. Nobody's happier that JPP's back more than Shaq Barrett, because they are going to, you know, he's not a secret anymore. He had that incredible September. He got almost half his sacks in the opening month of the season. And you know that they're going to commit a lot of resources to Barrett, and there's JPP to help make him pay. And if there was no JPP, you know, you're looking at Anthony Nelson and Golston, and a cast of thousands. And you got to have JPP in that lineup, gentlemen.
Lee, did you say you thought JPP was not coming back next year?
No. Only reason, salary cap purposes.
Gotcha. I just wanted to clarify. I mean, I hope.
I hope he's back. I hope he's back, but I just don't see it only because what the Bucs going to trim right now, what are we looking at, 15, 17 million? Roughly.
Well, they're way under the cap for next year. Way under. But
are they?
Yeah. If you
and they gotta sign Godwin and they gotta sign Shaq.
Yeah, well, yeah. They're way under the cap as far as commitments, but if they re-sign these guys with the money that they're gonna need, they would go over. But at least they're not like these other teams that are already over next year's cap. So they got a little wiggle room. But there's a lot of potential guys. I hope, Ira, I hope, and nobody cares about 2021 like this now, but I got to say, I hope that if JPP has a decent year, they're not dumb enough to let a good pass rusher walk out the door after three good seasons in a row, but anything is possible.
Lee, you got to remember, they've been drafting pass rushers for the last 5-6 years. They've been very heavy on pass rushers, Mr. DeCamper.
Name them.
Well, you got Anthony Nelson.
We mentioned Levante David. There might be an ulterior motive for reworking his contract. Now we're talking about JPP. There's someone else out there looking for work. And he was awful good last year coming off the bench rushing the passer. Clay Matthews.
A lot of Buck fans are wondering why the Bucks haven't shown interest in Clay Matthews. I don't know how much he's got left.
He was okay last year with the Rams, but he was a part-time player. And we just mentioned how, you know, this team, this defense, I should say, is if they lose JPP, the defense is mortal all of a sudden, I believe. And if Matthews comes in, well, there's your Carl Nassib you were talking about a couple weeks ago, Ira. That's right. Your new Carl Nassib. You know, you have Matthews coming off the bench. I think he got 6 sacks last year coming off the bench. That's exactly what you're looking for to help spell and maybe save some snaps for JPP so he's upright come December and hopefully January.
Ira, you started this podcast talking about Alvin Kamara, and to reset for folks, I'm sure most people have heard, Kamara is sitting out of practice at the last minute here trying to negotiate a new deal with the Saints. He wants in the neighborhood of $12 million a year, and he is in his fourth year of his rookie deal. He's made peanuts to this point, but the Saints are the kind of team, like you said, Ira, they have gotten rid of Jimmy Graham in his prime. They've gotten rid of other skill position players, Mark Ingram, because they just feel that with Drew Brees and some of these other guys, the system is bigger than the running back or the skill guy who wants a ton of money. Now, Drew Brees, though, may be gone, and of course, the next quarterback might really need Alvin Kamara versus Drew Brees, but what do you think the end result is here? Will he miss opening day? How far will he push it? What's going on?
That's a very, very astute analysis, Steve, in terms of the system in New Orleans. The thinking is that Peyton/Brees tandem can make ordinary players look outstanding. And for a long time, I think there's been a little truth to that. Remember guys like Marcus Colston, Lance Moore, productive players in New Orleans, they go somewhere else, nothing. Now, look, Kamara is a heck of a player, and I think he was pretty banged up last year, and he was still effective. Nobody wants Kamara off the Saints more than Levante David and Devin White, because sometimes they're charged with trying to keep this guy up with this guy on a swing pass, and that is one tough assignment. But you got to wonder what's going through the minds of the Saints executive suites and Peyton and Brees. I'll say this, Steve, countering that argument about the system being more important than the player is the fact that this could be Brees' last year, Lee. This is not Brees when he's 29, and so he wants every advantage he can get, Lee. And let's face it, Latavius Murray's not as good a football player as Alvin Kamara. He's just not. Leonard Fournette, should he become a Saint, is not Alvin Kamara. Just not. You know, nobody can make that argument. So I think that's also weighing, you know, to keep Kamara happy. Lee, you know what this is about? This is about McCaffrey getting taken care of and Mixon's getting taken care of. Kamara's going to be paid next year, Lee. He's going to make a lot of money.
If he doesn't get hurt.
If he doesn't get hurt, yeah. He wants it right now, and it's, Lee, it's the only leverage the players have. I mean, you got to look at it that way, too. But I think this is a rough spot for the Saints, considering, you know, a betting person would probably say this is Brees' last season. And, boy, you don't want to go out without Alvin Kamara. That'd be a tough one.
Ira, I don't know if you saw it, and I had a little fun with it. I had some fun with it when I posted a picture of George Blanda at 43 and Brady. Brady looked like he was still trolling for college chicks on Clearwater Beach. And Blanda looked like he was looking for what nursing home to go to. I mean, it was a stark difference. Well, there was a picture that someone ran of Drew Brees side by side with Brady. I can't remember who it was, Daryl Revelle maybe. Brees, within the past year, looks like he's aged like 8 to 10 years. He looks like an old man. And I don't know if the hassle he got in with, you know, the controversy a couple months ago, took a couple years off his life because he thought he was going to lose his NBC job as a result. I don't know, man. But He looks like he's, you know, something happened to him. I almost wonder if he came down with the virus and nobody knows about it.
And Lee, on the other hand, you got Brady, you know, with that darn training regimen of his. And no, nobody knows how many supplements the guy's gulping down every morning with his orange juice. And Lee, if I could have looked like that at 43, I think I would have done the Brady regimen too.
I would have lasted
about 36 hours.
I was going
to. Is Gronk's pushing his stuff now?
Yeah.
I was going to say, Ira, you're an expert in the subject of looking 15 years older than you really are.
Oh, Steve, you're going to pay for that when I see you this weekend. You're going to pay, baby. Now,
all right,
guys, one thing that the Saints, Bobby Hebert and the co-host said, and look, you know, they're on a big station in New Orleans. They got some connection. Hebert certainly has his contacts in the organization. And, you know, and when I said if the Saints don't want him, the Bucks will surely take him off the thing. And the first thing Hebert said was, they ain't trading him inside the division. Not a chance. He's not going to the Bucks. And, of course, you know, he's a guy you could get a first-round pick for. I think you could get a first-round pick.
Ooh, really, you think?
I mean, he's 25 years old, Lee. I mean, you know, not that much tread on his tires.
Well, I mean, I love Kamara, don't get me wrong, but generally running back, first-round pick,
usually
that Ryan Pace might do.
Yeah, usually not.
I would agree with you, Ira. You know, definitely a later pick. I mean, gosh, of all people, Bill Belichick drafted Sony Michel in the first round, so I think the whole game has changed a little bit when it comes to the running backs. But Sage, Leonard Fournette, okay, so he was cut by the Jaguars, and Bruce Arians had his news conference, and I asked Bruce about Leonard Fournette. And Arians, of course, did not mention Jason Light. Like, oh, well, Jason will look into it. No. He said, we'll just have to wait and see where he fits, which was a very interesting answer about Fournette. Lee had wrote on JoeBucksFan.com some positive Fournette quotes from Arians. And, you know, let's bottom line it here, Ira. The guy can play on all three downs. He's a great talent that hasn't had much receiving talent or quarterback talent around him. Do you think the Bucks make this move and really take it seriously? What do you think?
Steve, I'm going to disagree slightly. I think he's a little overrated. I do. He has been injury prone. One out of his 3 years, he missed half the season. Rookie year, I think he missed three games. Now, he was productive last year. He was healthy. He was productive. I believe he caught 76 passes. That's a big number. But, you know, Lee, he averaged like 8 yards a catch. I mean, that's ordinary for a running back. Ordinary. You know, he's a big, strong guy, Lee. But I don't think he's a good fit for the Bucks. I think he might have some character issues that could scare away somebody like Light. And I can just hear Isbit saying, Light don't count. Well, he's in the executive suite. I don't know. How many cooks do you want back there, Lee? I mean,
they got a McDonald's chef back there.
They keep telling me how good Ronald Jones is, and if Fournette comes on, why do you need Shady McCoy at that point?
Well,
I mean,
Shady's
why?
A really good backup. Shady's a really good backup. I don't think anybody believes that Shady's a every down back right now or a starter.
Well, they're not cutting Ronald Jones, Lee. They're not going to cut him.
Ronald Jones is cheap, relatively cheap. But here's the thing. There was actually a guy, I'm not going to out him at all, but there's a guy that's commenting on Joe Buck's fan. He says he can't see how Fournette's an upgrade over Ronald Jones. And I'm thinking to myself, how many glasses of scotch do you have to drink to come to that conclusion?
Well, Fournette had 1,600 yards from scrimmage last year, and Jones doesn't come close to that.
The biggest knock on Jones? Pass-catching ability. Fournette, that's not an issue for him. And like Steve said, he's never down back. I tend to agree with Steve. You know, he was the focal point of the offense. It wasn't Bortles.
Right.
Your own punchline there. You know, in Jacksonville, when he was on the field, people were keying on him. That's why Arians talked about him when I dug up that video a year ago when the Bucks played the Jaguars and Arians was talking him up. Well, that was all there was to talk about with the Jaguars outside of Gardner Minshew. And by the way, I love Rock Riley. But the suggestion that the Jags might pass on Trevor Lawrence if Gardner Minshew has a good year, come on.
Come on.
you know, that brings him to Fournette. Someone's reading box scores, not watching football. If they actually believe that Ronald Jones is Leonard Fournette's equal, I mean, come on. If you're going to invest in a 43-year-old quarterback and a 67-year-old coach, this is pushing all your chips to the middle of the table. I don't know why you wouldn't get Fournette, because right now that is the only weak spot on this team.
Well, Steve made probably the biggest point of all. Arians could have said, we're good. He could have said, we're good in the backfield.
Yeah.
He could have talked up Ronald Jones again. He could have talked about McCoy as a pass catcher. And he didn't do that, Steve. He had every opportunity. He probably should have known that he was going to be asked about Fournette. It shouldn't have been a surprise. And instead, he said, we're going to see if he's a fit. That doesn't mean they're not interested, Steve. Far from it. So in that regard, you couldn't say it would be a shocker if it happened.
Well, the fun part is we get to find out soon, Ira, and we'll save the debate for another day. I would argue that special teams is a big weak spot, Lee. I'd also say that.
I'd say
safety is a major question mark, especially the way they performed overall last year. So I would almost be happier if the Bucs pulled in an A-list safety instead of an A-list running back. I would almost be happier. But, you know, that's, like I said, conversation for another day.
Wait a minute, Steve. Are you suggesting that the resurrection of Mike Edwards might be a mirage, Steve? Are you suggesting that?
I don't know if he's going to play, Ira. He might not play much with
I got to admit, Lee, a year ago, I thought that kid had a good training camp. And I thought he was going to have a good rookie year, and he did not. He did not have a good rookie year.
Sabby 2.0. All right. Now, listen, Sage, if you come home and you go under the sink and you see some mold and some unexpected water or behind the washing machine, who do you call?
Florida's Elite Restoration. When you got an emergency with mold, you go to Florida's Elite Restoration.
That's right, Ira, and you can go to their website, floridaselite restoration.com. 24/7, you can get in touch with them. They are going to respond, and they'll give you an absolutely free assessment as to what's going on in your home and how to fix it to repair the mold. You want to call them first so you don't get screwed by your insurance company. Florida's Elite Restoration is the way to go. It's a local company. As you know, Ira, we've hung out with them at Big Storm Brewery, and we've gotten to know them in many different ways. Family owned, but big enough to take care of you anywhere in the Tampa Bay area, and they've got the experience. And Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first call. If you see water, if you see mold, if you have any kind of disaster, that's who you call. Ryan Suckup.
I knew this was coming, Steve. Why do you want to depress me? I said I was jubilant. And now you want to talk about the kicking situation.
Ryan Suckup, a man who kicked a huge 50-something yarder against your Chiefs a few years ago. Now, he is the new Buccaneers kicker, a veteran kicker. He's just about to turn 34 years old. And they just brought him in, Ira. So that means what? It means he had a pretty good tryout. And now, 5 days later, they got to make a roster cut. Suckup, just to set the table for everybody. I'm sure a lot of people have never seen him kick. With the Titans in 2014 through 2018, Ira, I'm going to read off his field goal kicking percentage from 2014 to 2018, 1 year at a time. Are you ready, Sage?
Okay.
86%, 87.5%, 92%, 83%, 87%. And then last year he was hurt. Who's going to win this job, guys?
I'll say this, Lee, and I'll say this without any equivocation. If Matt Gay is counting on his fifth-round draft status to save his bacon, he's sadly mistaken. I believe that will be zero factor, Lee, and it should be zero factor. All I want is a guy that can make kicks. That's all Arians wants. Make a damn 38-yarder with the game on the line. Now, Suckup's made a career out of doing that. So, Lee, I think Gay's in trouble.
Yeah, if I had to lay money, and it's not like, hey, I watched Matt Gay and Pratt. No, none of that. If I had to lay money, I would lay money on Suckup for two reasons. One, Arians has been grousing about the kickers for about a week and a half now. Now they got a new one. Okay, you got a new guy in. That's number one. Number two is, Gay's going to be put on the practice squad. And I know why. There's actually people out there, Ira, that care about the practice squad. There, believe it or not, there is. And the people who do care, you know, it's like 0.1% of the populace, they're going to freak out. I've already had people come back at me when I suggest this. Matt Gay will be on the practice squad. Oh, how dare you put a kicker on the practice squad? Well, remember, people, we're going through a virus. And there's a reason why Arians is talking openly about four quarterbacks. He's going to stash one on the practice squad in case there's an outbreak of the virus. Same with the kicker. He's going to have a kicker stashed on the practice squad in case there's a big outbreak. Because along come game day, all of a sudden, your kicker is positive. What are you going to do? You're going to have Ali Marpet going out there to kick? I don't think so. So they'll stash Matt Gay on the practice squad. Suckup will be the fifth kicker in as many opening days for the Bucs. The last 4 years, they've had four new kickers on opening day. Suckup would be the fifth one in 5 years. I don't know if that should frighten Bucs fans or that they should be content that the Bucs are not satisfied with garbage kickers.
Steve, you can't write this story. I mean, Hollywood would throw it out. You know, it would be a perfect Buck story, in line with the last 12 years. If Brady and Gronkowski and Evans and Godwin and all this considerable talent on this roster get done in by a little 160-pound kicker. I mean, Steve, if Matt Gay was kicking well in training camp, Suckup's not here. Suckup's not signed, so that ain't a good sign.
Ira, I got one for you about kickers, and I know I briefly discussed this on your last podcast when Steve, we had a little special report about the scrimmage, but what really stuck out to me at the scrimmage, I'm still laughing about it. The very first touchdown the Bucs had, you know, the guy from the AAF, Elliot Fry, the Orlando Spurrier's kicker, he goes out there, very first kick in the scrimmage, it's the first touchdown, you know, after that 16-play drive Brady had, and he clangs it off the left upright. Now, that's the north end zone. That's not the end zone that supposedly gives Bucs fans or Bucs kickers problems. That's the south end zone. So he clangs one off the left upright. Next time the Bucs score a touchdown, it's in the south end zone. And here the Bucs are always talking about sending the kickers over to the stadium to kick by themselves to get used to the south end zone. And what's Arians do? He goes for two. He was already fed up with the kickers. Like, I'm done with it.
Oh, that's because he knew you were taking notes over there, DeKemper, and he didn't want it to show up on your website. Oh, my goodness.
There he is, you know, talking all about the south end zone, sending kickers out there. Here you have a scrimmage. You got a chance to kick in the south end zone. He goes through two.
All right, I've got three quick kicker questions for you. Can you answer them? Are you up for it?
Go, baby.
All right, number one, if Ryan Suckup is the opening day kicker, will Jason Light finally take a hammer to his Roberto Aguayo bobblehead?
It's already been done. It was done a year and a half ago. Year and a half. I got an inside scoop on that one.
Now, if Matt Gay is cut, does he clear waivers? Are we to believe that not one team would put a claim in for a fifth-round kicker?
That is exactly what we are to believe. Next.
Okay, next. And why would Matt Gay, why would he possibly want to sign on the Buccaneers practice squad when he could probably get on somebody else's practice squad for a team that doesn't hate him?
That's a fair point, if somebody else wants him on their practice squad. Steve, I've said it before, and Lee, I believe I said it when Gay was drafted. If the first thing you're saying about the guy is, wow, what a strong leg, I'm not interested. If that's the first thing you say, Lee, I'm not interested in that guy. The first thing you got to say is, he makes his kicks. You can give me the strong leg about number three. It's like saying a wide receiver can block. I don't want to hear that, number one. Yeah, you know. So enough with the strong leg. Arian said it the other day. He said it as plainly as you can say it. Make the freaking 38 yarders. And we'll go on from there. Lee, that's where it starts. That's where it has to start.
I think the Bucs fell in love with the siren song of the strong leg from Gay. And yeah. I think Arian sort of admitted that. You know, like, hey, you know, we can kick him long, but now You got to be consistent. And he wasn't consistent even in training camp last year. He sure kicked them along. Oh, my gosh. But I'm as guilty as the Bucks are. I'm like, wow, this guy, man, they better keep this guy. This guy's a weapon. And
Look, he's the home run hitter who hits 205. You know, and
he's the Dave Kingman of the NFL over here, Steven. Now, Izbitz, you have a memory like an elephant. You also have the eating habits of an elephant, Izbitz. But I want to check you on it, Steve. Did I or did I not say on multiple occasions, going into the season last year and during the season, did I not say I trust Gay more with a 52 than I do with a 37-yarder? And I keep saying that, and ultimately, I think Arians came around to that. That's the wrong way to look at it. That's back asswards. You can't do that. You're not going to be asked to kick 52-yarders on a routine basis. But you got to make them inside the 40. You got to make your extra points, Steve. So this thing about the Bucks and kickers somewhere, I don't know. I don't know if he's got a mansion on the Georgia beaches or whatever, guys. But somewhere Matt Bryan is having a good chuckle over all this.
Call him, Ira. Call him. Write a column. Ask him to relieve the curse. Ask him to stop the curse. See what he says.
I think I got his wife's phone number.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
I can get him.
Uh-oh.
Call his wife. Maybe she'll have lunch with you at Big Storm Brewery. All right, Ira. Now, this is very important, very interesting in a lot of ways. And it needs your sage wisdom. But first, we want to remind everybody that Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, they're indoors, modern, they're outdoor, covered area, beautiful, brand new. Big Bucks Saints watch party opening day. Doors open at 11. Bucks kickoff is at 4:25. Ira's going to be out there. We've got giveaways, and the tap room's open till 9 o'clock if you want to sort of chill out after the game and sober up and have some beautiful dinner before you head home. You'll have plenty of time to do that. So a great time ahead. And our friends at Bill Curry Ford present all of Ira's work. Can't say enough about them. Bill Curry Ford, that's where you shop first when you need a vehicle in the Tampa Bay area. Sage, you ready for this?
Now, first I want to mention to Lee DeKemper that there's one other aspect of the Buck opener, Lee, that I think's worth mentioning. And I'm here to proclaim it and shout it from the rooftops. We've got Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, gentlemen, for week one. And get used to them, because they're going to be doing a lot of Buck games this year. And Lee, little Dickie Stockton is now listed as a backup. If somebody can't make it, he'll fill in. But the days of seeing Dick Stockton at Raymond James, it's going to be few and far between, Mr. DeKemper.
He's an old fossil that should never be behind another microphone. the guy was doing Red Sox games in the mid-70s. Dude, pack it in. You've had a nice life. But then again, if I'm as old as Dick Stockton and I'm able to call NFL games, God bless him. You know, so I look at it from two different angles. I look at it from an old man perspective, like, wow, he still has his wits. He's 95 years old. He's still able to bounce around. And then I look at it from the angle of a Bucks fan or just a TV viewer, like, this guy should have been put out the pasture 20 years ago.
Enough with Dick Stockton, Ira. You'll catch up with him at the college reunion. It's all good. Now, listen, Ira, Donovan Smith. You know, we all know about Donovan Smith. Offensive line coach Joe Gilbert took the Buccaneers stage today on Zoom, if you will. And I simply asked the guy, you know, you talked about Donovan Smith last year, how he needs to get more consistent, even though he had his best year yet. And you basically said he's got to play 65 out of 65 plays instead of 60 out of 65. And are you working on that? Or do you just wait and see if he brings the goods come the regular season? And Gilbert opens up, Ira, I don't know if you read it, but he basically opens up and says that Donovan has sort of, you know, finally admitted that, yeah, I have a consistency problem and I'm working on it. And he told the story of just the other day that Arians said they had a bad practice and he went up.
He said he stunk.
Yeah. That's and he right. went up to Donovan and said, you know, you can have a bad play, but you can't have a bad day. And Donovan Smith told him, I had a bad day and I'm working on it. And he's just happy that Donovan has had the realization that he's an inconsistent player, and they're trying to get rid of his bad plays. What do you make of all that, Ira?
I don't think this is a rocket science question. He is what he is, Lee. He's an average left tackle. He's not terrible. He's not elite. Not every team has an elite left tackle. The Chiefs got a guy named Eric Fisher. Guys, he was the number one pick in the draft. I don't know why. And he's okay. Eric Fisher's okay. He ain't no Pro Bowler. And he's playing for the Chiefs, and he's protecting Mahomes' blind side. I mean, it's not easy to get an outstanding left tackle in this league. Lee, Donovan Smith is what he is. I don't see him making a market step up, Lee, after 5 years. I don't see it. We seem to be fixated on Smith and what he can do and what he can't do. And he's an okay left tackle, Lee. I'm going to leave it just like that.
Yeah, he's an okay left tackle, and you can't have an all-pro at every position. There's
right.
got to be some positions where they're going to be just okay guys. And I always say this, and people get frustrated when I say this. If you talk to any football guy that's been around for any length of time, they will say, if he can answer the bell on Sundays, that's half the battle.
Yes.
Especially for a left tackle. Because if you're missing your left tackle on a game day, that creates havoc all across the offensive line, not to mention for your quarterback, your running back, et cetera. And he answers the bell.
Yeah, when he missed that game last year, Steve, that was a big story around here. Remember?
Sure.
The fact that he's average and that he, Bill Parcells, your best ability is availability, and his availability is top shelf.
Steve, I'd like to see him be a little more physical in the run game. I just think I think he's a little short there. Pass protection's okay, and the way Brady can avoid a sack, I don't think that's going to be a big deal. But he's not a force, Steve. He's not a force off that left side in leading the running back on a critical down. He doesn't clear out the space. He doesn't stay with the block. And I think that's been a problem for him.
All right, Ira, before we get the heck out of here and demand your sage wisdom to send us into the night, so I hope you're thinking or you have something prepared, which you probably only have a sandwich prepared, but maybe I can count on you. Ira, does this soothe your nerves at all? Because if you were lining up X factors for this season, one of them would be the question, the X factor, was Shaq Barrett a flash in the pan, a one-year wonder kind of guy? So, Ira, fans are wondering what Shaq Barrett is going to be. Nobody would argue that. Is he going to be a one-year wonder or not? And I asked Rob Gronkowski today.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did ask him that. Yes,
I asked Gronk what he thought of the defense. What stands out? Give me one thing that stands out. I didn't expect him to say anything. I thought he'd give his typical Patriots answer. But he actually went on a rant about Shaq Barrett and his quickness, and he's so slippery, and he's tough to block in the run game, and then he's beating me more than I'm beating him. And he said, quote, he stands out tremendously. Does that make you feel better, or you still have to see it in real games, guys?
I thought that was significant. I'm glad you asked that question, and I thought he was going to say all of them. All of them. We got a lot of talent on that side of the ball. I didn't think he would single somebody out. That's not the Patriot way to do something like that. But I think it's an indication of the impression Shaq Barrett has made on this guy, Lee, in a relatively short period of time. Granted, it's not overly physical out there. I understand that. There's a unique element to Shaq Barrett as a pass rusher. It's unique. I kind of call him a mini Von Miller. I can't put him in Von Miller's class. Von Miller has a good chance to get a bust in Canton. Shaq Barrett's just making his name now. Hadn't done much until last year. But, Lee, in terms of the way he contorts his body and makes himself small going around that edge, it's very, very difficult for those big offensive tackles to get a good piece of them. Running backs are going to get overwhelmed by him. I think he's the real deal, Lee. Now, you and I don't think he's going to get 19 and a half sacks, but when I asked him if he would take 12, he said, well, that would mean that they're cutting the season short. I think that was a tremendous answer, Lee.
That is a good answer.
I didn't expect that kind of answer from him, and I think he's very smart. I've talked to him a lot. Bowles loves him. Bowles was the guy that brought Shaq Barrett to Tampa. I feel very confident about saying that. He noticed something about him as a part-time player in Denver. He stuck behind Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, some other guys, and boy, did he take advantage of his opportunity. Steve, I don't believe Shaq Barrett in any way is going to be a fluke, a one-year wonder. It's not fair to hold him up to last year's standards, but I'll tell you what, Chandler Jones still can't believe that he lost the sack title because he had a big lead with a few games left, and Barrett tacked on some big ones at the end. I like everything about Shaq Barrett, everything. And that man is going to cash in big time sooner rather than later.
All right, Ira, before we get out of here, I got to run this past you because you know it's just a source of angst for me. And you seem to be the only one who understands. And I don't want to come across as negative, but I don't know what to do with it, Ira. I see it as a small red flag that I hope just burns up and doesn't mean anything. But are you ready for this, Ira?
I'm ready, baby.
All right. So first off, I'm listening to the Patriots, all the interviews of the Patriots on SiriusXM NFL Radio on their training camp day dedicated to the Patriots.
Okay.
And it's fascinating. First off, every single player they interviewed basically said, even Kevin White, the running back, just another year. James White, just another year, same preparation. You're always dealing with new players. Yeah, we lost a couple of big names. No big deal. None at all. Nobody will even mention Tom Brady. They won't even revere him in any way. It's the Patriot way of not that we're a team. This is not about some guy named Brady.
Right. Right.
Amazing. Well, Bill Belichick does an interview, Ira, a rare long interview with the guys on Sirius. And what does Belichick say? He talks about how he believes he's become a better teacher than ever because of all the in-depth work and adjustments that he's made for teaching online and learning the technology and diving into the different things that you could do and the way you need to express yourself differently online. And he thinks he's much better for that. And at One Buck Palace, it's like, don't put me on the computer. I don't want to touch the mouse. That was their attitude. I just feel like somehow, some way, that lost time is going to bite the Bucks versus what some other teams have done. Am I crazy, Ira?
Well, in general, you are, but not in this case, Steve. Not in this case. And I hope you're wrong. I hope your intuition, Steve. I hope your intuition is wrong. But Lee, when it comes to Belichick, the guy turns over every rock. Lee, I mean. You know, he's not from Silicon Valley and 35 years old, you know, and wrapped up in all the new technology or whatever. But Lee, his appetite is insatiable. His curiosity, insatiable. And anything he feels gives him a little bit of an edge, he's going to do it. Sometimes when it's in the rules or above the rules. That's been proven, Lee. And how's it worked out for him over the past two decades? Darn good. Now he had Brady. And now he's got a chance to prove life beyond Tom Brady. And Lee, before he had Brady, he wasn't a very successful NFL coach. I think he made the playoffs once in Cleveland. And I got drummed out of Cleveland. So
As did the Browns.
So there's a lot on the line for Bill Belichick. There's a lot on the line for Brady. I hope Steve's wrong in terms of you know, it's out there a little bit that the Bucks are not on the cutting edge of technology. They would argue that point, Lee.
They would argue that. It's one thing to be on the cutting edge. It's another thing to utilize that technology. And apparently Leftwich is a Luddite. Arians doesn't want to deal with it. I could give you $20,000 of computer equipment, including a DVR. But if you don't use it, it doesn't matter. He'd be better off with a $10 universal remote.
Well, I'd like to take you up on that, DeKemper. I'd like to take you up on that. And the first thing I would do the next day is try to sell it and pocket the $20,000 over there, Lee.
There you go. But I'll go ahead and say this. This is not political, but there was an open mic on Trump the other night. He went to Lake Charles, Louisiana, where the hurricane hit. And he kept giving autographs to all these firefighters. And he's saying, here, go and put it on eBay later tonight. You'll get $10,000.
Steve, I think I can get about $1.50 for mine when I see the fans at Big Storm Brewery, the Clearwater
location, baby.
There you go, Ira. Now, get us out of here with a little bit of sage wisdom, something that's meaningful, Ira. Not any of this stuff. You've been slipping on your late sage wisdom.
All right, I got a letter in the mail the other day, guys.
What's your name?
It's shocking. I framed it. I got it up on a wall.
I've let you do that, huh?
My long lost dentist. My long lost dentist, Dr. Miller. Dr. Miller. Not cheap. Not cheap. But the guy's good. You got an emergency, you go to him. And it's just like Florida's Elite Restoration. When you got an emergency with mold, you go to Florida's Elite Restoration. When you got a tooth problem, you go to Dr. Miller. And what did the letter say? After 39 years in the business, he's hanging it up and making way for a new dentist to take over his practice. Guys, there's nothing more personal other than a proctologist and having your dentist walk out on you. Nothing.
Get out of here, Ira. I hope you still got the bucks at 11-5, right?
That proctologist word threw you over the edge over there, Steve.